Thank you for this day. I just thank you for the ability to gather here and just praise you. And Lord, I pray you speak to us through the pastor and open our hearts and still our minds so we can focus on him, your word from him. And I just pray you would bless the remainder of the services today, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who what? Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's a lot to do with our walking, isn't there? Have you ever heard someone walking down the hallway or in the house and knew who it was before you even saw them? Yeah, you can tell people just by their walk many times. When you watch someone walk, you can tell if they're in pain. You can tell if they've hurt their leg, they're limping. You may say, hey, what's wrong with you? Well, I hurt my foot, or this, or that. So you can tell a lot about things just through people's walk. And as we think about that, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you just stop and think about those who watch us as Christians. My wife and I came into the church yesterday, and we didn't know anyone was in here. And suddenly, I heard my wife talking to someone. And I saw two of our granddaughters hiding behind a table, waiting for someone. Was that yesterday? Okay, they were here extra early, I guess, for the shower. And so we didn't. Oh, Friday. Okay, so the decorating for the shower. Okay. So yeah, we had no idea anyone was even in here, but those two were hiding. Did they giggle or did you see them? Both. So we never know who's watching us. That's the point as to how we are walking. So we always want to be walking with the Lord, because we never know. It might be someone we know that's watching us. It might be someone we don't know that's watching us, but they're watching. And so there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, you know, when we talk to people about the Lord, there's a lot of people with a lot of excuses, isn't there, why they're not in church. And to a big extent, a lot of them are using the excuse as to how we as Christians walk. And I hope they're not using us, you know, for why they're not in church. But Christians in general, they're using as an excuse. So we want to make sure that we walk carefully and walk for the Lord. You may have come in this morning and you may sense that someone is tired or discouraged or not feeling well just by the look on their face. So it might not be the actual walking of their feet, but as you see them walk and come in, you might sense that they're tired, sick, whatever. And so you try to minister to those needs. So let's look at a few verses this morning about our walk. Let's go to Genesis 5, first of all. Genesis 5. And as we think, are we walking as if we really believe the Lord's going to return? Are we walking through our lives? Have you ever seen someone walk and their head is going way up and down? I mean, there's like a spring in their step. And I've heard, I should have asked Brother Jim, but in boot camp, if someone, you know, they want soldiers to march. Well, that's one of the things they teach them is marching. But they don't want one soldier's head bobbing up and down and the next one, you know, because that wouldn't look uniform as they're marching. So if someone is, their head is bobbing down, up and down too much, they'll be told, dig in those heels. And so they don't want them, you know, just walking on the ball of their feet or their tiptoes and going up and down, because normally, you know, if you see someone with energy and enthusiasm and zeal, you might see them walking, you know, their head bobbing up and down while they're walking. They're putting their all into it. But in Genesis 5 here, and in verse 21, Genesis 5:21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch what? Walked with God. After he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch what? Walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. So God used Enoch as a picture of the Lord's return. So are we walking with God? Are we, well, if you hold your place here, turn to me to Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 23. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it what?
Heartily.
Heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. So, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So, as people look at us, do they look at us as, wow, Brother Austin sure looks discouraged this morning. Or as we walk through life, do we look or act or walk as encouraged as if the Lord is coming back? Or are we like the crowd, oh, it'll probably not happen today. Spurgeon was a Baptist preacher in England, and he got all of his deacons together once and asked him, had all the group together, and he said, do you think the Lord will come back this week? And one by one, everyone said, no, or probably not. So turn to me to Matthew 24. So he gave him this verse, Matthew 24:44. He told him, therefore be ye also what? Ready. Matthew 24:44. For in such what? An hour as ye think what? Not the Son of Man cometh. So he read this verse. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. So all of his deacons said, no, or probably not. The Lord won't come back this week. And so he's telling them, listen, that's the type of hour is when the Lord's going to come back, when people are not going to think it's going to happen. Notice also in Luke chapter 18, when we get weary of praying in such an hour, the Lord is going to come back. In Luke 18, in verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to what? To pray and not to what? Faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Well, that's kind of like today, isn't it, for the most part? There's a lot of judges that do not fear God. Verse 3, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary, and he would what? Not for a while. That's happening in a lot of court cases. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man, what? Cometh, shall he find what? Faith on the earth? So when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Jesus puts this forth. So are there going to be a lot of people praying in that time when the Lord comes back? Well, it looks like here a lot of people are not going to be praying. They're going to be discouraged. The government is going to be against them. There's going to be unjust judges, verdicts from judges and juries coming down might not be favorable to Christians. But this judge, because the widow kept coming, granted her request. And so the Lord tells us to keep coming before him and not be discouraged. Persistence. I do not know what year it was, but the Danish festival, and we used to have a booth up in Veterans Park. And I remember Brother Rector, Brother and Mrs. Rector, and Brother and Mrs. Miller would often man the booth. We had a booth there with gospel tracts and Bible courses. And then one year we decided to show some videos by Kent Hovind as well on a monitor. So we needed a generator. So we had a generator going, and that was back in the days when we did not have this quiet little Honda generator that we have on the float now. Generators used to have one volume, loud. And so we had this generator going. We put it away from our booth, pointed away from our booth. The problem was is it was pointed at another booth, which was some distance away. But it was that booth, I think it was two ladies that were selling clothing. And one of the ladies came over and let us know that that thing was too loud and that we needed to put it someplace else. Well, you know, so we said, okay, we'll try to do something about it, expecting her to walk away. She didn't walk away. She was not about to walk away until we did something about it. And the truth was, is we didn't know what to do. If there was a way to quiet it down, we would have been glad to, but she would not budge. She was not going to leave until we did something. And so I don't remember what we did. I guess we did something because she finally walked away back to her booth. But it just makes me think of here this widow woman in her persistence to the judge of all the earth, because that's what it's a picture of here. But in this case, it's an earthly judge. But she was not going to give up with this judge. And God doesn't want us to give up in prayer. So back in Genesis 5, I wonder how Enoch was walking. Are we walking as if we really believe the Lord's going to come back? What do you suppose that we would do if we really believed the Lord was coming back this week? What would all of us do? Would it be any different than a normal week? Verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Well, the Bible does give us a clue about how we should walk in Titus chapter 2. If we believe the Lord's coming back, the Bible does show and tell us how to walk. In Titus 2, in verse 11, for the grace of God that it bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, what?
Denying ungodliness
and worldly lust, we should live, what?
Soberly.
And then what?
Righteously.
And then what?
Godly.
In this present world,
looking for what?
The blessed hope
and the glorious what? Appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, there was some music going here, not in this building, but outside. Oh, what night was that? I don't know if that was Wednesday. I don't think it was Wednesday night. But there was some music going, and it was the rock beat. Anyway, it was somewhere in the neighborhood. And some of the young men were out here. I don't know if Brother Jim, if you remember, but Sister Pyatt was in here talking to someone. Oh, it was prayer. That was Thursday night, right? Okay, it was prayer. And so after prayer, some of us guys were outside talking, and some of the ladies were inside talking. And one of the young men was teasing about that music, about Mrs. Pyatt being in the car, running that music, something like that. I'm telling on him now. And they were just joking, but and so we got talking about this loud music in cars, and you know, this, they put these bass, I don't know if they're subwoofers or what they are, you know, in the trunk. And so it's those cars that go by and you can just hear them vibrate. It's that boom, 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 and everything's just vibrating. In fact, our cars vibrate when we're even by a car like that on the road. I can't imagine what it's like inside of one of those vehicles, but I was just mentioning, it's a wonder the fenders don't fall off cars like that. You just, the vibration and, you know, loosening bolts and things, it's terrific. So if we are walking with God, expecting his return, we're not going to be like that. There must have been a wedding yesterday in this area, and they rented the orchard and the pavilion out back. And so at our house last night, and we live a little over a mile, I don't know, as the crow flies, it might be like a mile, just a tad over, from that pavilion. And I could hear the drummer from outside of our house, a mile away. I mean, the specific drum beats I could hear. So, do you think that drum beat was a little loud? I mean, when you can hear it clearly from 1 mile plus away? Yeah, that's a little loud. And I just, isn't it sad that people start their lives and their marriages that way? And obviously, that's the kind of music that goes along with dancing and drinking, normally. That's what that goes along with. So, and now, do you think that couple, whoever it may be, whether they're professing to be saved or not, do you think they're expecting the Lord to come back this week? I rather doubt it. I mean, if we really thought the Lord was coming back, do you think there's going to be immodest dressing in heaven? No. Do you think there's going to be wild rock music in heaven? No. Although in this day and age, with professing Christians, it's hard to tell. I mean, there's some professing Christians that may actually believe that there's going to be rock music in heaven, and they're sadly mistaken. But it just doesn't seem like that's the way to start out a marriage if they're really expecting the Lord to come back. And but it tells us here how to live, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So that's the way we should be walking, is denying ungodliness, denying worldly lusts, living soberly, righteously, and godly. Why? Because verse 13, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all what? Iniquity. And what? Purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So that's the way we ought to be walking. So not all down and glum, because the Lord could come back at any moment. So as we consider our walk back in Romans chapter 1, or Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So how would we expect someone to be walking if they were walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh? Well, normally it's because of how that person responds to temptation. If we're walking in the Spirit, there are just so many temptations in this world, and people know. You know, if we're driving in a vehicle and someone is dressed very immodestly walking down the sidewalk and we are watching them, what about the person in the car behind us? They're seeing what we're looking at. So if, you know, if I have my Bible for you license plate or cross for you license plate, and they see that, but then they see my head is turned watching someone that's dressed immodestly, do they think I'm really walking consistently according to my license plate? No, they won't. So there's all kinds of ways that people can tell how we are walking. Notice in 1 Corinthians 3, people can tell whether we are walking spiritually or fleshly by other means too. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto what? Spiritual, but as unto what? Carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet what? Carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and what? Walk as men. You see, people can tell how we're walking spiritually just by our speech too. In this, it talks about verse 3, envying, strife, and divisions. Well, what was going on at Corinth that was causing so much strife? Well, verse 4. For while one saith, I am of who? Paul. And another, I am of who? Apollos. Are ye not carnal? So, what about this Paul and Apollos thing? Well, Paul was not a great public speaker. He said he walked among them in weakness and trembling and fear. But Apollos was a great orator. So, you know, Apollos was a polished speaker. Paul was not. I mean, we might think Paul was because God used him to write so much of the scripture, to write it down. But by his own admission, he admitted he was not a good public speaker. He stood before them in weakness and trembling and fear. Have you ever been so fearful before people or in a situation where you were trembling and where people could see it, could see you were trembling? Well, that's how Paul was. Because people later on, he would mention, they would say, well, his letters are weighty and powerful, but his presence is weak and contemptible. It's like, is this the guy that
God used to write these powerful books of Scripture? Well, he doesn't sound so powerful. He doesn't look powerful. He actually appears nervous, weak, and trembling. And this can't be the same guy that wrote these books. But it was. It was the same guy. And so we had people, even though Paul was nervous, he was the pioneer missionary. At Ephesus, it was Apollos who came along later, the great Polish speaker. So Paul broke the ground, but it was Apollos that came back later, and the Polish speaker. So people gravitated. So it's no different than today. There was a situation some years ago. There was, and it was with Jack Hiles. And so there was a whole big controversy anyway that was stirred up years ago. And so a lot of people said when they met someone, "Are you for or against Hiles?" What does that matter about anything? But that was their, as it said, their litmus test. You know, are you for or against Brother Hiles? What does it matter if I am or am not? But that was their test of fellowship back then. So Paul says here, you know what? At Corinth, if you're envying and strife and you're arguing, you know, well, you know, I think I follow Paul. And somebody else, I follow Apollos. You know, I think Paul's the better preacher. And I think Apollos is the better preacher. And they're arguing about foolish things like that. And so Paul sets them straight. And so he says in verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Isn't that how the world does it? It is, yeah. They've, for this one or that one, we just need to humbly follow the Lord. That's how we need to walk. Notice in chapter 5, 1 Corinthians in chapter 5, actually 2 Corinthians 5, excuse me, 2 Corinthians 5, and let's start in verse 6, 2 Corinthians 5, 6. "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are what?
At home.
At home in the body." So this thinking about the Lord's return, okay, well, now we're at home in the body. We are absent from the Lord. "For we what? Walk by faith, not by sight." So can people tell that we're walking by faith, not by sight, in how we live? Well, verse 8 says, "Well, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be what? Absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So how do we show if we're really, if that's true? You know, a lot of people say, "I just can't wait till the Lord comes back." Well, you know, the book of Malachi talks about the Jews. The Jews said they couldn't wait for the Messiah to come. But the Bible prophesied there in the book of Malachi that, you know what, when he comes, he's going to be as a fuller's soap and a refiner's fire. And that's how he came. When Jesus came, the Jews were not happy to see him. He cleansed the temple. He threw them out. He drove out those who were buying and selling out of the temple. And so they were not ready. How do people know if we are really walking with the Lord and ready? Well, let's read verse 8 again and then read on. "We are confident, I say, and willing rather be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Wherefore we what?
Labor.
That whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." So people can tell How do people really know if I'm just saying, oh, I can't wait for the Lord to come back? How can people tell if that's real or if that's I'm just saying that? Verse 9 is the key. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. If I really believe he's coming back, I'm going to be active doing all that I can for him. Why? Because I really am expecting him back. What would happen if you went over to one of the church family's homes and the wife was there and it was about time for her husband to come home, and and she said, yeah, my husband could be coming at any minute, and so I need to get supper going, but nothing's on the stove. And so you talk a little bit, and yeah, I'm expecting my husband any moment, and I really need to get supper going. But does she really expect him at any moment? If she really did, she probably would say, let's pause this conversation. I need to get something on the stove. So it's like that as Christians. If we really expect him, truly, if it's not just talk, verse 9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. So I pray the Lord would help us in our walk. People see by how we walk. Like I said, whether we're in pain, whether we're kind of discouraged, or whether we're just full of enthusiasm, you can tell how someone's walking. I pray that God would help us to truly walk with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you would help us. Lord, we know how to talk the talk about the Lord's return, but Lord, are we really expecting you? If so, we know that our walk will match that. So, Lord, there's many aspects involved in our walk, and I just pray that you would help us to be consistent. Help us not to be a stumbling block, but an encouragement to help people think about your coming and to live faithfully for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Next service starts about